This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We conclude our week-long remembrance of the 2001 civil unrest today. Later, we'll hear from radio host Lincoln Ware, whose radio station played a pivotal role in fostering conversations in the days of the civil unrest and its aftermath. And then we're joined by local journalists who covered the events of two decades ago. But first, we break our format today to bring you an interview that we ran out of room for this week, our conversation with a figure who featured prominently in Cincinnati. Keith Fangman was president of the Fraternal Order of Police. He was an outspoken advocate on behalf of the officers within the department amid widespread criticism of their deadly violence against black men. But as the years passed, Fangman says he stopped talking to the media about the events of 2001. And now, 20 years later, he says he's finally ready to talk about it again and discuss how he thinks Cincinnati has changed in the past two decades. Here is our pre-recorded conversation, which has been edited for length. Joining us now is Keith Fangman. Keith, thanks for talking to us.
Absolutely, Michael. It's good to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity.
20 years have passed since this unrest that took place in our city, and this is one of the first times that you've talked publicly upon reflecting of two decades worth of time that has passed. Why talk about it now?
Well, I would say specifically, Michael, it's because I had just come to the realization that not only has the city improved dramatically in a lot of different areas in terms of the relationship between the community and specifically the black community with the Cincinnati Police Department, but individually speaking for myself, is someone who was extremely vocal during the period that led up to the riots themselves and the aftermath of the riots. And I look back on that is such a long time ago. I'm 56 years old now. And back then I was 36 years old with three very small children. And as a matter of fact, my oldest daughter is now 32. And so I look back on that period as it's just such a long time ago, but I have personally over the past few years realized that there's an opportunity here to really build upon the successes that occurred immediately after the riots with the collaborative agreement and the specific things in the collaborative agreement that really made some concrete improvements and the relationship. And so I just think that now is a good time on the 20th anniversary to look back on the past and also some mistakes that were made, including some mistakes that were made by myself, as well as others, and build upon that and realize that we have an opportunity for Cincinnati not only to continue to improve, but in light of what's happened across the country, especially the past year with the massive number of cities across the country that were just engulfed in flames and violence and looting and physical assaults. And I just think Cincinnati has an opportunity, and I mean this sincerely, to really set or maybe even continue to set a better example for the rest of the country on how it is possible. It truly is possible to go from the absolute worst police community relations that anyone could ever conceive 20 years ago to now actually having what I would describe and many others would describe both in the black community and the police department is a much, much improved relationship. And so I would say that's why I feel it's a good time to start talking about it.
I want to think about how you had to juggle a couple of responsibilities during a very difficult time for the city. You were on patrol, obviously, as part of a riot squad. You were also the FOP
Correct.
President. So
yeah.
Can you take us back to that period and how you handled your role in communicating on behalf of the officers as president of the FOP in the immediate aftermath?
Absolutely. I was first elected the FOP president 4 years before the riots. I was elected in 1997. And when I ran at that time against a veteran incumbent police officer, FOP president, I ran on a very clear platform of getting our officers some really, really good contracts because we were starting to fall behind other comparable size cities in pay. But the other thing that I ran on was being a strong, vocal, articulate advocate for our police officers. And I felt that the police officers in Cincinnati, when they are thrust into terrifying life and death encounters and literally have to make split second decisions to use force and sometimes deadly force in defense of their life or the life of a partner or the life of an innocent citizen. When that happens, the average person has no idea what the officer immediately goes through. For most officers, and I observe this firsthand in private quarters, when officers from our department would be involved in intervention shooting deaths in which a citizen died, I have seen some of the biggest, toughest, baddest officers reduced to being almost inconsolable. Not all of them, but quite a few of them. And if anybody doesn't think for one minute that when an officer is put in a position of having to take a life, that that doesn't severely and adversely affect that officer, they're sadly mistaken. And so I felt I took that responsibility very seriously about being a vocal defender, because the fact of the matter is, if it wasn't for the police union, the FOP, the officers would be left twisting in the wind. And we've seen over the years a number of incidents where officers, depending on the circumstances, depending on the circumstances of the shooting, we've seen officers who have been, demonized and vilified, and they've received death threats and, threats to harm their family. Depending on the circumstances of some of those incidents, officers are suspended without pay. In Steve Roach's case, with the Timothy Thomas case, not only was he suspended without pay, which meant that he was on his own as far as, not only providing for his family, but being able to afford an attorney, because he was also charged criminally. Steve Roach was charged, and put on trial. And the fact remains that if it wasn't for the police union, these officers would have no one. And I mean no one speaking for them, because in many of those instances, you've got the community that's angry at the officer. In some of those instances, we had a complete lack of support from City Hall. And not all the instances, I want to make that very clear, but in some of them, there were some members of council during those days that were just downright antagonistic towards the police and made it very clear that they did not have a good relationship with CPD. There was an incredible amount of media condemnation. And so my mindset was to be there to support those officers when nobody else would be there for them. Having said that, I will be the first to admit that there were times when I look back on things that I said or did in defense of police officers, including Officer Roach, that sometimes in my passion to defend my officers, I realized that there were times that I was perhaps far too strident and that I came on too strong. And I realized that there were times that sometimes my rhetoric was overly harsh. And I look back on those days and as a 36-year-old man then and as a 56-year-old man now, and I look back on my entire career with the police department. I retired from CPD 3 years ago after serving 25 years as a beat cop my whole career. And I realized that I have to take responsibility for any part that I may have played during that period. And that, you know, that's not easy to do. It's not easy to be, you know, critical, self-critical, if you will. But I feel that, and speaking about it, that although I will never apologize for defending my fellow officers, I mean, that was my job. That is what I was elected to do. So I'm not going to apologize for being a vocal advocate and defending those cops. But I will say that there were times that I definitely feel that I was too strident. And so I do take responsibility for that.
When we look at what happened across the country, as you referenced moments ago, riots and unrest after the killings of more Black people at the hands of police, we even saw large demonstrations here in Cincinnati, and you watched the response from people who held your position in other communities, FOP, union presidents, and law enforcement advocates. Do you see them making what you might consider similar mistakes maybe that you made in communicating in the immediate aftermath of a tragedy?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that question, because as many people know, the current FOP president is Dan Hills, Sergeant Dan Hills, somebody that I have worked very, very closely with as a police officer and also as an FOP union member. Dan Hills did something almost immediately after the incident involving George Floyd in Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, in which the all too tragic, familiar video of Officer Chauvin needlessly putting his full body weight on George Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Sergeant Hills, the current FOP president, like myself and like many others, were shocked at what we saw on that video is an understatement. And I've seen some dramatic knockdown, drag out uses of force in my career. I've participated where people have been extremely violent, and you're on the ground with somebody who's biting and scratching and punching you, and you're rolling around in the filth, and all of a sudden you feel a hand on your holster and them trying to pull your weapon out. Well, none of that occurred with the George Floyd incident. None of that occurred. And it was shocking. I personally couldn't believe what I saw. But Sergeant Hills did something that I was very, very proud of. And frankly, I don't think he got enough credit for it. Sergeant Hills, within 3 days of that incident, but Sergeant Hills was one of the first major city union presidents to come out publicly and strongly condemn the actions of Officer Chauvin. My point is that he said those things publicly, and it got a very, very, very small amount of play in the Cincinnati media. For decades, all we've ever heard is, oh, you cops cover for each other, the proverbial blue wall of silence, and you guys always look the other way when there's bad behavior like this, or you guys never criticize each other. And this was really the first time in my entire career that I saw something I'd never seen before. And that was police union leaders, not police chiefs, police union leaders publicly and strongly condemning the actions of a fellow police officer, albeit from another city. That had never happened before. And this was all before the rioting began in Minneapolis, when that auto parts store was torched and then the whole country went up in fire in almost every major city. All the rioting started. I thought, man, what a wasted opportunity. What a wasted opportunity. I mean, we were on the cusp as a country. We were literally on the cusp of turning a new page in police community relations in this country, with all those many FOP presidents coming out, and it had never happened before. And I thought that this is really a turning point. And unfortunately, and I say this as sadly as I can, it wasn't a turning point. If anything, things have gotten worse. And so now here we are, you know, here we are 10, 11 months later after the George Floyd incident. And instead of things improving in most of the rest of the country, and I'm not speaking about Cincinnati, but in the rest of the country, not only have they not improved, they've gotten much, much worse. And I just think that's a real tragedy and a real lost opportunity.
Keith, thank you so much. I know you said that you're finally able to talk about those events, and I appreciate you spending some time talking about them with us.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you again for giving me the opportunity.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.